Come back to that day when Jesus was arrested, declared guilty by the Jewish high priest. He's then taken to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. And Pontius was he was an interesting guy. He's a noble from a noble family, but he's kind of a middling rank guy stuck in a backwater of the Roman Empire. And Pilate asked him the really obvious question. What charge do you bring against this man? I mean, you have to bring a charge. You can't come before a governor with no charge. And the Jewish religious leaders gave a very strange answer. They said, if this man weren't a criminal, we wouldn't have handed him over to you. What a strange answer. What's the charge? Well, he's a criminal, trust us. But anyway, Pilate wasn't in the mood to play games, so he said, you take him and you judge him according to your law. Now, if the conversation had stopped there, there would be no Good Friday. If they'd taken him and judged him by their own law, there'd be no Good Friday. But the Jewish leader spoke one more time. It's not legal for us to put anyone to death. And that sets the scene. Under Roman law, the Jews couldn't put anyone to death, and that's what they wanted. They wanted Jesus put to death. And today, Good Friday is all about remembering the death of Jesus, God's forever King, so that we might repent and believe the good news. But today I want to focus on one question, and it's the question that Pilate asks Jesus when they're alone in the governor's headquarters, and it's this. Are you the King of the Jews?
Jim.
One question. Are you the King of...
Jim.
Are you the King of the Jews?
Jim.
Is that you, Big Red Sherbet?
No.
You look like Big Red Sherbet.
No, I don't. See, I've got a hair ribbon.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My name is Sherbetty.
Sherbetty? What happened to Sherbet? He was going to come and help me with my Good Friday talk.
He can't be here. He's got COVID and has to stay in isolation.
Fair enough. Well, okay, Sherbetty, but can you do me a favour and try to remember not to interrupt the preacher?
Why? I do it all the time.
Yes, but you shouldn't.
Well, I wouldn't have to if you explained things properly.
If I explain... What are you talking about?
I'm talking about... What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Jesus and the cross and Good Friday.
You told me the Romans were in charge.
Yes.
And Jesus wasn't a Roman, so how could the Roman governor think Jesus was a king?
Fair enough. Okay, I tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. If you listen and stop interrupting, I promise I will explain why the question does make sense.
All right, but you'd better explain it good.
Well.
Well what?
You'd better explain it well.
I'm not explaining it. You promised you'd explain it. And if you don't explain it good, I'll be back.
All right, sure, Betty, I'll explain it well.
Good.
Actually, I'm going to need some help. I'm going to need some help for this one. So I'm looking for... 8 volunteers up the front. If you come on down, if you're one of my volunteers, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 3 more volunteers. And it got embarrassing at the last service. We had come on down. We got 6. We got 7. We got we got 9 now. We've got 9. That's fine. I can deal with 9. Okay, we've got 9 volunteers. Excellent. Oh, and I need some chairs. Let me get some chairs. All right. All right. Whew. Now I'll get you kids to stand over that side for a sec for me. Get over there. Yeah, excellent. All right. Whew. Okay, so I've got to explain now. So to help you understand, why did the Roman governor ask Jesus, are you the King of the Jews? We kind of have to go back in history. And so this term at church, we've been looking at a guy, a king. Anyone tell me the name of the king we've been looking at church this year? He's the first king in Israel. Yeah, Saul. Yep, so Saul, the first king of Israel. We've been looking at him. And give me a quick sign. Do you think he was a good king? A bad king? What do you think? Yeah, he's a pretty bad king, right? He wasn't a great king. We've been looking at Saul and he wasn't so good. In fact, God rejected him as king and replaced him with a guy called David, who was better, but certainly not a perfect king. And so, how many volunteers do I have at the present? I've got eight, I think, at the moment. All right. Cool. All right. But David replaced Saul, and God made a promise to David, and it's on the screen. He said, when your time comes and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up after you your descendant who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. Right, so David's going to have a son who will have a kingdom, good news. But further he says, my faithful love will never leave him as it did when I removed it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure before me forever, and your throne will be established forever. So God makes a promise to David that one of his children will be king forever. We're going to have a forever king. So, who's first? Who's my first volunteer? Who's first? Okay, Levi, come on up. Grab a seat. Hereby we crown King Solomon, because when David died, his son Solomon took the throne. And so this is good news, because we have a king on the throne from David's family line. Did you enjoy your reign, Levi? Because that's it. Unfortunately, sit down. You can take your thing off now. I'll pass that back to Paula. Who's my ex-volunteer? Come on up. When Solomon died, his son Rehoboam took the throne. Long live King Rehoboam. But unfortunately, the kingdom split in half. And so we ended up with a northern tribe. Oh, thank you. That was quick. I guess people are never slow to take the crown, are they? And so we ended up with the northern tribe and the southern tribe. But David's family were from the southern tribe. So I'll move out of the way, Your Highness. And so the southern tribe has got all the promises. The northern tribe does not. But sadly, that's not the end of the story, because the northern tribe then gets conquered by Assyria. See ya. You can take your stuff off now. Now head off. All right, who's going to be Assyria for me? Yes, come on up. Yeah, come up. Take the throne. Yeah. Yes. We have a new ruler over the northern tribe. Assyria has conquered the Israelites, and they're now in charge. Long live the Assyrians. But, of course, that's not the end of the story, is it? No. What happens next is Babylon comes along and conquers both. Sorry, you're gone too. All right, both of you, down you go. I know you only just got here. It's tough, isn't it? It's tough. All right, I'll put that chair down here for the moment. So who's going to be Babylon for me? Come on up. It can't be Fletcher. It can be anyone except Fletcher. All right. So Babylon comes up. They take the throne. Now, Babylon only reigned for about 50 years, and then they were conquered in turn. Sorry, you're off too. Next. Come on up. Yep, come on up. Babylon was then conquered by Persia. So he had a Persian empire. But during this whole time, where are David's sons? They're not on the throne, are they? They're not ruling. So it looks like God's promise is not coming to fruition. You enjoying your reign there, Persia? Well, it didn't last too long, because that's not the end of the story. Along came a guy called Alexander the Great, king of the Macedonians. We often think of him as Greek, but he was Macedonian. Go on, off you get. Next, come on up. Come on up. Yeah, Jacob, come on up. You can be Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, great story, went for a walk, conquered half the world on his walk, got bored, died. But when he died, his kingdom got split up, basically, and his sons were not anything like he was. You don't need to put your hand up. Well, there you go. Not only should Betty interrupting me, now I've got Charlotte interrupting me as well. Okay, so Alexander the Great conquers the world, but then Alexander the Great died, his empire got split up, and for a time there were actually some Jewish kings, but they weren't from David's line. And so the promise still is fulfilled, so sorry, off you go. Thanks, Jakey. Well, next looks like Ella coming up. Oh, sorry, actually, no. Have you already had a turn? Well, what have I done there? Jump down for a second, Ella. Coming up, Fletcher. It has to be you now, because Rome. We're up to Rome, and he's got my gladiator costume. So, the Romans took control. The Romans were in power at this time. They now control it. There is no Jewish king. The Romans have the stage. And that's why Pilate is the governor in Judea. He's the governor because the Romans control it. And so, I'll get you to jump down for a second, because I haven't given Ella a turn. Come on, Aunt. Here's the question. You're now David. We're going back in time, right? We're doing a time travel thing. So we come back to the promise. What promise did God make to David? One of your children will be on the throne forever. And right now, the Romans are in control and they're not on the throne. So, the promise was that David would have a lot of boss sons, but they didn't.
Hot cross buns? I love hot cross buns.
You can change that. What are you talking about now?
You said hot cross buns, and I'm hungry. Can I have one, please?
I did not say hot cross buns. I said that David was supposed to have a lot of boss sons, but they didn't, and so it looks like God didn't keep his promise.
Like you.
Like me.
First, you promised you'd explain why Pilate asked Jesus whether he was king of the Jews, and you haven't done that.
Well, I'm getting to that.
And I was promised that you'd give me hot cross buns if I came today, and you haven't done that either.
Oh, boy. Look, you can have hot cross buns after the service, just not now, okay? There will be hot cross buns for everyone after the service, and I'm so close to explaining why Pilate asked Jesus if he was king of the Jews.
Well, you need to hurry up or the buns will be cross.
What are you talking about now?
Well, if a hot cross bun isn't hot anymore, then it's just a cross bun. I don't like cross buns.
All right. Okay, the short version, all right? The short version. The Jews did not like being ruled by Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Alexander the Great, or by the Romans. They wanted to have their own king. And so, for that reason, they wanted a king who would kick the Romans out, and so the Romans had to be careful. But there's one more thing. There's one more thing. Jesus actually came from David's family. So Jesus was descended from David, which makes it interesting, because if Jesus was the answer to God's promise to David, then he could be God's forever king. Jesus could be the forever king. And you'll see on the screen it says the word Messiah. And the word Messiah is just another way of saying king. So Matthew, who wrote one of the Gospels of Jesus' life, he thought Jesus is that king. He is God's forever king. And Pilate was on the lookout for anyone who claimed to be king. So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And when Jesus did answer, he said this, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that it wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." So finally, Pilate got his answer. Jesus is a king, but he's not a king from this world.
That's so cool. So is Jesus from another planet?
No, he's not from another planet. He came from God. He is the king. He's God's forever king. His kingdom is God's kingdom. And so that's why Pilate asked him again, "You're a king then?" "You say I'm a king." Jesus replied, "I was born for this and I've come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And that has to be true, because if God's is true, if God is true, then God's king must be true as well. And so he had to always speak the truth. God speaks the truth. God's forever king must speak the truth.
So Pilate was worried that Jesus was going to fight the Romans?
Yes, you got it. Yeah.
So he asked if Jesus was the king?
Yes.
And because he was a king, Pilate killed him?
Well, kind of. I don't think Pilate really thought he was a king, but he agreed to kill Jesus because the religious leaders wanted him dead.
Okay, I think I understand it now, except for one thing.
Oh, well, that's good, but what's the one thing?
So what?
What do you mean, so what?
Well, every Easter I come to church and I hear that Jesus died so that our sins would be forgiven.
Yes.
So what? What am I supposed to do about it?
Well, that's actually a pretty good question. Well, let's think of it this way. Jesus is God's forever king. and his kingdom is all about truth. Now this year, for the adults, there's going to be an election. And the adults will get to vote to see who our next prime minister will be. And sometimes our leaders say things that aren't exactly true. Sometimes they kind of bend the truth a little bit to make it sound like our policies are good and other people's policies are not so good.
You mean they tell lies?
Well, sometimes they say things that maybe are true, but they say it in a way that makes you believe a lie.
That's terrible. Our leaders tell lies? Who knows about this?
I think everyone, actually. I think everyone knows about that. But it's much worse than that, actually. It's much worse because it's not just our leaders, it's us as well. It's us as well. We tell lies and we do things much worse than that. We treat ourselves as if we're the kings rather than God.
Oh no, what are we supposed to do?
Well, when Jesus started his ministry, he said, repent and believe the good news. And I think that's a really good summary. So repent, it means to turn around. So if I'm walking my own way, I'm living my life my way, repent means turn around and go back to God. Start living his way rather than just going my way. Do what God wants rather than what I want. And if Jesus is God's forever king, then we need to do what he says. And if we're going to do what he says, we need to listen to him.
I know. Read the Bible. They always say that in church.
Yeah, we do say that a bit, don't we? But it's true, isn't it? Read the Bible. Listen to Bible talks on Sunday. Meet with other Christians. Read it together. And you can do that. We've got lots of places to do that. We can do that at Kids Club for K to 5. We can do it at Youth Group for 6 to 12. And we can do it on in our growth groups during the week. Adults can meet together as well and read the Bible together. But, you know, it's not just reading. It's not just listening, but doing, isn't it? It's that repenting. It's a listening to what God says and then turning your life around and going back and following him. And the second thing Jesus said was, believe the good news.
I believe the good news.
Well, that's great.
Hot cross buns after the service.
Sure, Betty, that's not the good news.
No?
The good news is Jesus died for us. Because God's kingdom is a kingdom of truth, anything which isn't truth can't be part of the kingdom. And the problem is that's us, isn't it? We're not truth. So we can't be part of God's kingdom. But the good news of Good Friday is that God forgives all those things when we believe that Jesus died to take our punishment. So let me put it to you this way. Let's imagine you did something naughty and you're given a time out.
Ugh, I hate time out. It's so boring and so long.
Well, yeah. Now let's imagine you're given time out forever.
Forever?
Forever. And you've got no electronic devices. And you can never see your friends. And you can never be friends with God.
That would be terrible.
But now, imagine you're in time out forever and Jesus walks into your room and says, hey, Sherbetty, why don't you go out and play and I'll take your time out.
Wow. I would be happy, but I'd also feel bad for him.
Yeah, that's kind of what Good Friday is, isn't it? It's a day when we're so happy because our sins are forgiven, but we also feel bad for Jesus. And that's why we repent and believe. Because when Jesus took our punishment, because he took our punishment, we want to listen to him. We want to do what he says. Anyone who loves us that much is definitely worth listening to. And we want to thank him for his very good gift. We want to thank him that he died for us. And that's part of what it means to repent and believe the good news. We believe that on that first Good Friday, Jesus died for us so we could be forgiven, so we could have eternal life. And because he's God's forever king, we repent and do the things that God wants us to do.
Sometimes I want to believe, but it's hard. Some things in the Bible are so amazing, it seems hard to believe.
You know what? That's true. And I remember when I was first, someone first read the Bible with me, I thought, it just doesn't seem like it's real. It didn't seem true at all. But I also thought, it's very important. If it is true, it's very important.
So what did you do?
Well, I went to a course at a church where I could investigate Jesus and ask all my questions, somewhere where I could ask all those things and all the things I didn't understand. And so that's why we're running a Hope Explored course soon for 3 weeks, starting at the end of this month. And if anyone here wants to ask their questions, that would be a great place to come to do that. But I'm going to pray now, and I want to do a couple of things. I want to thank God that Jesus died for us, and I want to pray that we might repent and believe the good news. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Jesus, who died to take our penalty so that we, the guilty, might be free. Thank you for him, and I pray, Lord, that we might repent. We might turn our lives around and follow him because we believe that he died in our place to take the penalty that we deserve. Amen.